Today's daf is Moed Chatz and daf Chav Gimel. We are holding on daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. We are 3 lines from the bottom of the page at Tanu Rabbanan, the Brais on the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis. Today we're going to discuss at first what happens when a Chacham, an Av Beis Din, and a Nasi respectively each die. How do we react to that in terms of the Talmud Torah and their Beis Medrash, and how does the community as a whole have to react to that in addition to just their relatives? Then the Gemara is going to talk about going to Shul when a person is an Avel, the first Shabbat, Shabbos, second Shabbos, third Shabbos, fourth Shabbos, how progressively the halacha goes from a very intense form of avelus to a lesser form of avelus in terms of going to shul. The Gemara is going to talk about if a person wants to get remarried after the death of his wife, how long he has to wait in order to get remarried. And then we're going to have a brisa about wearing laundered clothing when a person is an avel. And then Amud Beis is almost entirely, Amud Beis is going to have two topics. First of all, whether there's avelus on Shabbos or not, whether we're Noheg any sort of avelus on Shabbos, and then we'll have all the halachos of aninus, what an onen is not permitted to do and is permitted to do. So let us begin at the brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, 3 lines from the bottom of the page on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan says the brisa: Chacham shemeis beis medrash o batel. If a chacham dies, his beis medrash is batel. His beis medrash stops learning in honor of the chacham. Av beis din shemeis kol bati medrash o shabiru betelin. But if Av Beis Din dies, all the Bati Midrashos in his entire city are batel. And when people come to shul, they shouldn't sit in their normal place. People who normally sit on the north side of the shul should sit in the south. People who normally sit in the south should sit in the north. Nasi Shemes, Bati Midrashos Kulan Betelin. If a Nasi dies, then all the Bati Midrashos are batel. The current Shiva V'yotzin. But the B'nai Knesses, the members of the community, go into the Beis HaKnesses and they do lane from the Torah and then they leave. But they do not, apparently, do not daven in the shul, as Rashi points out. B'kor in Shiva, b'sefer Torah, de'ein mispalel in yachad b'Beis HaKnesses, el kol echad ve'echad mispalel b'Beiso. They don't daven all together in the shul, they don't daven with the minion. Everyone davens alone in their house, but they do get together just to lane. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Omer, lo she'yelchu v'yitaylu b'shuk, el yosh. The point is not that they should go around in the markets and talk and be available to do business in the markets. No, they're Yoshvin V'domin. The reason they're not coming to shul is because they're supposed to be sitting at home quietly doing nothing. And in addition to that, we don't say over any learning in a Beis Avel. But they said about Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel that he would say Shmua V'agada B'Beis Avel. Now, we'll start with this last point first. Einom Shmua Gadu Beis Havel, what is this halacha exactly? What Beis Havel are we talking about? The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam quotes two interpretations of what this might mean. First possibility says it's talking about on Shabbos, that even though there's no avelus on Shabbos, we're not osik b'Torah or b'Shmua ba'agada on Shabbos in the Beis Ha'avel. But if there's a shaila, it's nogel lemaisa that comes up, so that's not a Shmua ba'agada, that's a hora'a that you're allowed to do. But the whole discussion is about Shabbos, that even though there's no avelus, the avel shouldn't be involved in Shmua ba'agada. The second possibility, he says, is that which we say in Ein Omrim Shmua Beis HaAvel is not talking about the bias of the Avelim, where the Avelim are sitting Shiva. No, it's referring back to the last halacha we were just talking about. We were just talking about the Beis Medrash of the Chacham, the Beis Medrash of the Av Beis Din, how that Beis Medrash is entirely batel. So this price is going back on that and saying that if the Chacham or Av Beis Din or Nasi die, they were Mevatel, their Batei Medrash, and Batei Medrashos are batel Lagamri. Even Shmua V'Agada, we don't say that it's referring back to that, and that's what it sounds like in Maseches Smachos, in the end of Parak Yud, Maseches Smachos, where it quotes this. It comes right on the heels of talking about just like it does in our Gemara of the Nasi and the Av Beis Din that die. What's curious is the Ramban gives these two possibilities: either it's talking about the Avel himself, and it's on Shabbos. Or it's talking about the entire Beis Avel, but it doesn't mean the Beis Avel, it means the Beis Medrash of the Nasi and the Av Beis. reason, but in Shulchan Aruch, in Shinayin Ches, Siv Zayin, Shulchan Aruch, in talking about a regular Beis Avel, says, Ve'inom Shmua Va'agada Be'Beis Avel, Eli Yoshvim V'Domimim. And that's based on the Rambam in the 13th Barak of Hilchas Avel, where he also says that in a Beis Avel, we don't learn. No one should say over any learning in a Beis Avel. Everyone just sits there silently in a Beis Avel. So it sounds like neither of the explanations of the Ramban. We're talking about a regular Beis Avel. So it would turn out that in a Beis Avel, one is not allowed to learn at all. So it turns out that there are actually two separate Isurim of Talmud Torah for an Avel. There's the din of an Avel not learning Torah, but there's also a din in the Beis Avel, that Torah is not supposed to be learned in the Beis Avel, much like we have by Kfiyas Amita. Kfiyas Amita, this din that the Avel has to turn his bed over, but the halach is kol mitos shebebayis, all the mitos in the house have to be turned over. That's a din in the Beis Avel, that it's a din in the whole house of Avelus, not just in the Avel himself. This causes a lot of the Achronim to become very confused with the Minag HaOlam that you'll find everywhere in every Beis Avel. Between Mincha Marav, what do they do in every single Beis Avel? Someone gets up and learns Mishnayis. It's a fairish against the halacha. Halacha is that you know, the Shulchan Aruch says in a Beis Avel. So the Aruch HaShulchan raises the question in Shinai and Ches. Says Lufiza Yesh L'Tmoa Al Minagenu Shakama Lomdim Mishnayis BeBeis Avel VeGam Gemara Lomdim Anshei Chevra Shas K'Shameis Hayim Echevra. It used to be every community had a Chevra Shas that would try to finish Shas every year together in a community wide effort. That used to be that. They would make their siyum on Erev Pesach. That would be the siyum Bechorim. When I asked Rav Shechter if we can make a siyum on Shisha Sidre Mishnah when no single person learned all Shisha Sidre Mishnah, it's just a chevron. Happens to be Joe does it all anyway. But it's a community wide effort where some people learn this, some people learn that. Does that count as enough of the simcha? He says that was always the minhag. They always had a chevron shas or a chevron mishnayis, and communally they would finish. And that was the minhag. That would be the siyum. So he says, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand why we're allowed to do this. Not only why we're allowed to do it, the Nesivus in his Tzava writes, the Tzava of the Nesivus is printed at the end of his Haggadah. He says, I want that kol shivus yimei avelus ye'asvu asara lomdim bebateichem she'yilmedu mishnayis. I want people dafka learning mishnayis when you're sitting shiva for me, the Nesivus writes. So apparently he thought that it was an appropriate thing. Rashash also wonders about this minhag, why no one is choshesh for the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that maybe it's based on the Torah Sa'adah. Maybe we're assuming, like the Torah Adam, against what it says in Shulchan Aruch, against what it says in the Rambam. Now it could be that there's room to try to be choshish for this and to learn Mishnayis from Oid Katan, to learn Mishnayis that relate to Avelus, because just like the Yisr for an Avel to learn Torah doesn't apply to Hilchas Avelus, an Avel is allowed to learn Hilchas Avelus, so maybe the din in the base Avel you're allowed to learn Hilchas Avelus as well. So maybe Kedai to try to be Machmir to Dafka learn Mishnayis relating to Avelus in the base Avel. The other issue over here is that the Rashi over here had said that the Koran Shiva, because they don't daven with a minyan during the Avelus for the Avbezdin and the Nasi. The Rashi and Mukha Yosef over here explain that no, it doesn't mean we don't daven with a minyan, it just means that they daven in the Beis Avel rather than davening in a Beis HaKnesses, but they don't sacrifice Tefillah B'Tzibur. In the Aruch HaShulchan he says, even if there's a Sefer Torah in the Beis HaNasi, you would still go to the Beis HaKnesses, because there's, for the laning part, because we can't have a Beis HaKnesses just be batel for the entire Shiva. We're not going to do that. We need something going on in the Beis HaKnesses. But the Rosh and Mukha Yosef assume that we would still have Tefillah B'Tzibur. We wouldn't sacrifice Tefillah B'Tzibur. So that's Machlokas Rishonim over here. Okay, further in the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Avel Shabbos Rishona Eino Yotzei Mipesach Beiso. The Avel on the first Shabbos, he doesn't leave his house. Shnia Yotzei Ve'Eino Yoshe B'Mekomo, and the Bach adds Ve'Eino B'Daber. The second Shabbos, he goes out, but he doesn't sit in his normal spot, and he doesn't speak. Shlishis, the third Shabbos, Yoshe B'Mekomo Ve'Eino M'daber. He does go to his normal seat, but he still doesn't speak. Revius Areu Kikol Adam. Then on the fourth Shabbos, he's like everybody else. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Hutz Chulomer Shabbos Rishon Aliyotzim Pesach Beiso Sharei Kol Nuchnas on the Beis Alenachma. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, wait a second. The halach about the first Shabbos, that he shouldn't leave his house. Of course he shouldn't leave his house. What are you adding that he doesn't leave his house on the first Shabbos? Everyone's still coming to be Menachim him. So of course he doesn't leave his house. He's waiting for Menachem to arrive the whole time. Ella, so rather Rabbi Yehuda says, let's push back this entire schedule by 1 week. Shnia eino yotzim Pesach Beisav. The second Shabbos, you tell me a chiddush, he shouldn't leave Pesach Beisav. Shlishis yotzei veino yoshir b'mekomo, veino medaber, the bachheads. The third Shabbos, he goes out, but he doesn't sit in his normal spot. And he's eino medaber, he doesn't speak either. When he goes out, revius yoshir b'mekomo, veino medaber. The fourth Shabbos, he goes out, but he's eino medaber. And and then on the fifth Shabbos, he's like everybody else. So there's Machlokes Rishonim, when we say the word Shabbos over here, what does Shabbos mean? And is it, Shabbos can mean two things in Shas. Sometimes Shabbos means Shabbos, and sometimes Shabbos means week. That a Shabbos Rishonim means the first week of something. So there is a Machlokes Rishonim, how to translate this Gemara. Rashi on the Rif says that Shabbos means the Shivas Yemei HaShavua. It means the whole week. The Ramban quotes that in Torah Sa'adam B'Shem Rashi as well. And the Ritva points out that according to that, it's Dafka on a weekday that he doesn't go to Shul. But on Shabbos, even in the first week, on Shabbos and Avel, is allowed to go to Shul. So because there's no Avelus B'Shabbos. And the Rosh just adds that that's the minute in Ashkenaz, that the Avil goes to the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos, and after the Tefillah, the Avil goes out first, and he sits in front of the Bnei HaKnesses, and everyone comes in and sits with him. That was the Minhag in Ashkenaz. In the Agos of the Teferis Lemoshe on the Rush, that's printed in the back of our Gemaras, he asks on the Rush, why is it that the Avil would go out to the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos? It's true, we're not knowing Avelus B'Farhesi on Shabbos, but we are knowing Avelus B'Tzina on Shabbos. Is anyone going to know if he's not in shul? Anyone's going to be able to tell the difference whether he's just away for Shabbos or he's not? Is that really called Avelus B'Farhesia to not go to shul on Shabbos? Why would that be part of the halachos of Shabbos? He says, why would the Avel be allowed to go to the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos? He shouldn't be Yotzei MiPesach Beisav. So Tiferes Moshe says, maybe that it is called Davar B'Farhesia. Maybe that is called Avelus B'Farhesia, because anyone who's not an Avel is going to shul. The whole community goes to shul on Shabbos. He's going to be the one guy that's not there. I guess people didn't go away that often, and if someone was missing, you would notice his absence was recognizable. That's an important comment in terms of the geder of Avelus B'Farhesia. Is absence from something considered Avelus B'Farhesia? Sometimes you have people who are very close family members of someone, they're making a bar mitzvah or something, they want to know, are they allowed to attend the bar mitzvah? So is that called on Shabbos? Is that called the Suda or something? Is that called, or the Kiddush? Is that called Avelus B'Farhesia? So it depends. If the absence is going to be so noticeable that everyone's going to notice, why is that person not here? Meaning it's going to be someone who's so close that it's really going to be noticeable. So maybe according to this Tiferes Moshe, that would be a gather of Avelus B'Farhesia, even though it's not active Avelus B'Farhesia. It's just the absence of the person. But if it's something that's not very noticeable, so then Vaday it's not Avelus B'Farhesia. The Ritva just doesn't understand. He says this whole Shita that when we say Shabbos over here, it means the whole week. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the second Shabbos ain't a Yeltsin Pesach Beisav. Now, that means, according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Gemara, the whole second week after the person dies, the Avel is not allowed to be Yeltsin Pesach Beisav. We already said he's allowed to do business. He's allowed to go back to work the second week. So what does that mean? He's ain't a Yeltsin Pesach Beisav. So the Ritva doesn't understand how you can say that this is talking about the entire week. The Ravid, quoted by the Rosh over here, says, no, Shabbos Rishona means Shabbos. It doesn't mean during the week. It means on Shabbos, the Avil doesn't go out to the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos. The Meiri says, but there's a problem with that Shita also. The first Shabbos, he's not allowed to go to the Beis HaKnesses. What if he's not in Shiva anymore during the first Shabbos? Sometimes it could happen that the Levaya is on Sunday, so the seventh day of Shiva is Shabbos, and Mixiyom Kikulo, and of course you would go to Shul on Shabbos. How could we just make a blanket statement that there's no, that you don't, the Avil Zeinu Yosim Pesach Beso, that he's not going to go to Shul on the Shabbos Rishona, on the first Shabbos? Why not? If the first Shabbos is after Shiva, why wouldn't he go to Shul on the first Shabbos? So how can you say that it's just a blanket statement that Shabbos he's automatically not going to go? The Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam quotes from the Ritz Geus that an Avil is allowed to go to Beis HaKnesses even on a weekday, and the Ritz Geus has two rayas that the Avil is allowed to go to Shul even on a weekday. First raya is the Gemara we had a couple of days ago. The Gemara said in Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis that an Avil is allowed to go after the first 3 days to another base Avil. but he doesn't sit amongst the Menachemim, he sits amongst the Misnachemim, but he's allowed to go to another Beis Avel. Says Ritz Geis, if he's allowed to go to another Beis Avel, Kol Shekein to a Beis Tefillah, he can go, even B'toch Shloshes Yamim, even within the first 3 days. So the Ramban says, what kind of Kol Shekein is that? No, he's allowed to go to another Beis Avel, because it fits the mood of what he's supposed to be doing. He's in Avelis, he's allowed to go to another Beis Avel. What does that have to do with going to a shul? Yeah, there's more Kedusha to a shul, there's inspiration to a shul, but the reason he's allowed to go to another Beis Avel is because it's a Beis Avel. So the Ramban is not convinced by that Raya at all. The other Raya the Ritz Geis has from a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is Machlokas Tanaim. If an Avel is allowed to go to Shul, and Rabbi Shimon holds that an Avel goes B'Shabbos Rishona to the Beis HaKnesses, but he's just saying Yoshi B'Makomo. And we know, Halacha K'divrei Mekel B'Avel. So it has to be that we would pass like Rabbi Shimon that the Avel is allowed to go to Shul. The Ritva says that the minhag nowadays is that the Avel does go to Shul called Shiva, even on a weekday. And the Ritva says the reason that that became the minhag, that the Avel goes to Shul even on a weekday, is that otherwise there wouldn't be enough people to supply for Minyanim. And this is very relevant for communities that do not have enough people to supply for Minyanim in a Shul and in a Beis Avel. That the halacha is in that case that the Avel, so some communities will be Mevatel Beis HaKnesses, and they'll just move the Minyan from the Beis HaKnesses to the Beis Avel. The Ritva says the minhag was the opposite, that the Avel would go to Shul, that instead of moving the whole community from the Shul to the Beis Avel, that when there's not enough people, the Avel would go to Shul during the Shiva. Chacham Sadim points out, from the Lashon of the Gemara, it sounds like the Avel is Ein Yoshev B'Makomo, whether it's the Makom Shel Beis HaKnesses or it's B'Makom B'Beiso. It doesn't say that only in the Beis HaKnesses he's Meshana Makomo. The Gemara in Brachas implies that when a person, even when he davens in his house, a person is supposed to have Makom Kavua that he davens at. Hopefully it shouldn't be too Kavua. He shouldn't daven in his house so much. He should daven in Shul. But there should be a set Makom that keeps one from being distracted. So maybe being Meshana Makomo applies even in one's house, not just in Shul. Okay, further in the Gemara. Now, next topic. Tan Rabbanan, Kol Shloshim Yom L'Nisuin. The first 30 days after a person is in Avel, the Shloshim, he's not allowed to get married. Mesa ishto asu lisa isha acheres ad shiavro lav shlosh regalim. But if it's his wife that died, then he's got to wait more than 30 days to get married. He has to wait until 3 regalim pass. Rabbi Yehuda omer regal rishon v'sheni aser shlishi mutter. Then no, you only have to wait for the first 2 regalim to pass. Third regal that passes, it's already mutter. But if he doesn't have any children, so then he's allowed to get remarried right away, because he has to have children. He has a mitzvah of Puruvu, he can get remarried right away. If he has young children that need to be taken care of, he can also get married right away, because he needs someone to help care for the young children. And the Gemara says, and we have a story that happened just like that. Maisa Shemesa Ishto Shel Yosef HaKohen Va'omer La'Chosa Bebeis HaKvaros L'chiyu Farnesias Bnei HaChoscha. That one time the wife of Yosef HaKohen died, and he said to the sister of his wife, to his sister-in-law who he wanted to marry, in the Beis HaKvaros, we're going to get married and you're going to take care of your nieces and nephews. V'afol Pikein Lo Ba'al El Zman Meruba. So even though he married her right there on the spot, he wasn't Ba'al her till Zman Meruba. Ma'al Zman Meruba, what does it mean for a long time, that he waited for a while? Amrav Papa L'Achar Shloshim Yom, that he waited for 30 days at least until he was Ba'al her, but he got married right away. So a couple of important tosin over here. First of all, Ad Shi'avru Shlosha Regalim, we said that when it comes to wife dying, a person should wait Shlosha Regalim. The halacha is that Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh applies to Aviv V'Imo. Any other relative, there's only Avelus of Shloshim. And yet over here, by a wife dying, he's not allowed to get remarried until Shlosha Regalim. So what's that based on? It's not Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh. Where does the Shlosha Regalim come in? Where does it come from? Says Tosos, Ad Shi'a Shlosha Regalim below Simcha velo Yishkach Avas Ishto. That it is a sense of respect for his first wife, that he should be below Simcha. The Yom Tovim times are the most difficult times after a person loses a spouse, because that's when they spend a lot of time together, and it's a unique experience of Yom Tov together, and you're not busy with other things, so it's the most difficult time, and that's an important experience. That difficulty is an important experience that he should go through. He shouldn't just move right on from that. That's a respect for the first wife. Inami kedeshi yisi isha acheres v'lo yezachar min arishon ashlo yebeis deos b'mita. Second possibility, Tosa says, it's not to respect the first wife, it's to respect the second wife, because he's going to get remarried right away. Before Shlosh Regalim pass, he's still thinking about the first wife. And what kind of life is that for the second wife to walk into while the husband is still thinking the whole time about the first wife? V'od penyas kirena avas ishto lekantara. Plus, he may even explicitly, aside from just what he's thinking about, he may even mention, oh, well, my first wife used to do it like this, she used to do different. So that's only going to upset the second wife. And Tosus points out a little further, Pirush Rav Rabbeinu Yonah, Dein Shaykh Livsok Rabbi Yudah, Damar Shnei Regalim, Mishum Dekayim Lanel, Kedivere Amekel Ba'avel, Tal Milsad Depligi Ba'acha, Ein Zu Ba'avel, Di Mei Evlo Kalu Lahem. He says, all of these interpretations of what this is all about, waiting through Regalim, it's not about Yud Beis Chodesh, it's not about Avelus, it's about being psychologically sensitive to the needs of the second wife, or respect to the first wife, but it's not Avelus. And therefore, since this is not a discussion about Avelus, we would not say Halacha Kedivere Amekel Ba'avel over here. There's a machlokas in our Gemara, machlokas tanaim. Do you wait three regalim or only two regalim? So you might want to say, okay, only wait two regalim. Halacha k'divrei mekel bavel. Says Tosfos, no, we would not say halacha k'divrei mekel bavel because this is not a halacha in avelus. This is halacha in derech eretz. Derech eretz to the first wife, the second wife, but halacha in derech eretz, we don't say halacha k'divrei mekel. Adrab, maybe we should say halacha k'divrei machmir in derech eretz. We don't say halacha k'divrei mekel bavel in this kind of discussion. In the tshuvas of some sofer, he says that the issue of whether Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are considered kiregalim with regard to this, meaning in terms of the passing of three regalim, may be tully in the reason for this din of waiting three regalim. Because if the point of waiting three regalim is not midin avelus, it's just kadeshi yishkach avas ishto rishona, that there shouldn't be beis deos b'mita, like Tulsa says, so then they shouldn't count as regalim because you need time. The key is that there should be time that passes, like the Rosh says, because there's not enough harchak azman b'nehem. But if you say that you have to wait three regalim because of some sort of dine avelus, which Tosa strongly rejects, but if you were to say that it was some sort of dine avelus, then Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are also considered regalim with regard to avelus. They break a shiva, just like any other regal would break a shiva, so if it's a din of avelus, so then Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur would count as regalim as well. In the Chassam Sofer goes on to say that there are many other nafkaminas in this chakira also, whether it's a din in avelus or a din in derech eretz. The Chassam Sofer points out, let's say you have 12 months passed by, but you didn't have Shalosh Regalim pass. Like, for example, someone dies right after Pesach of 1 year, and then the following year is a Shana Mu'beres. So 12 months come, and you haven't had three Regalim. You haven't had all three Regalim pass yet. If you say that Gimel Regalim is a Din of Avelus, well, there's already Yud Beis Chodesh over. There's no way that there's any remnant of Avelus after Yud Beis Chodesh. I mean, even Alav V'Imo you don't have after Yud Beis Chodesh. But if it's a Din in Derech Eretz, and it's a Din in experiencing the whole cycle of Yomim Tovim, well, you haven't yet experienced the whole cycle of Yom Tovim. Another Nafkamina Chassam Sofer writes in that same Chuvin Yardei Simin Shin Nun, if Purim counts as a regal for this, if it's a dinner of Velus, so Purim does not count as a regal, because Purim is not a regal with regard to breaking Shloshim or anything else, or even breaking Shiva, but if it's because of Simchas a regal, that that going through that experience enables him to forget Avas Ishto, so then it turns out that Purim is would also be Mitztarif with regard to this. The Ran quotes another reason. He says that Shalosh Regalim is also a shear in another halacha. Shalosh Regalim is the shear of Bal Ta'acher for Nedarim. That a person only violates, a person takes a neder and he hasn't yet paid up his neder, he's only in violation of Bal Ta'acher when Shalosh Regalim have passed. And the Gemara Maseches Nedarim and elsewhere, Maseches Shabbos tells us that Ba'avon Nedarim Banim Mesim K'shem Ketanim and Ba'avon Nedarim Ishto Mesa. That because of the sin of Nedarim, a person's wife dies. That's one of the terrible punishments of not taking the Nedarim seriously enough. So we dafka tell him you're not going to get remarried until three regalim to bring to mind halachos of Nedarim as a reminder of what caused, what potentially may have caused the misa of his wife in the first place as it relates to Nedarim. There's also an interesting discussion. The Rishonim discuss in the Avel al Avivi Imo, is he allowed to get married? La'achar Shloshim. We say that you're not allowed to attend, certainly not allowed to attend a wedding, La'achar Shloshim, and in Avel and every other relative Yosef is allowed to get married la'achar shloshim, but alav v'ima, where you have yud beis chodesh, is he personally allowed to get married? So all of the Rishonim seem to assume that he's definitely allowed to get married. The Rosh writes this name Rabbeinu Tam, it's called in Tosfos Masechet Yevamos. Everyone seems to hold that he is allowed to get married himself after shloshim, even though avelus anav v'imo is yud beis chodesh. Rabbeinu Tam says because a simcha sheish ba mitzvah for his own peruvu, you're allowed to get married for. What if he already has children and he wants to get remarried now? Is he allowed to do that with, when he's in the yud beis chodesh alav v'imo? So Rabbeinu Tam says yes, because even though he's been mekayim peruvu, the Gemara tells us that b'boker zoras or echol arav al tanach chidach. The Gemara in Yevamos Stav Samach Beis says that even after a person has children, he has a son and a daughter, he's already been mekayim peruvu, it's still an additional mitzvah to have more children. So that's considered enough of a mitzvah to beat out the consideration of avelus of yud beis chodesh, and therefore he'd be allowed to get married within yud beis chodesh as long as it's after shloshim. There's also machlokas rishonim if he's allowed to have erusin within shloshim, meaning it says in the Arav Gemara that kol shloshim yom linisuin. So is that dafka linisuin, but erusin is permissible within shloshim, or do we mean that both erusin and nisuin is permissible? The Rambam understands that the whole list is only nisuin, but erusin is permissible afilu biyom amisa. The Rambam writes binisuin keitzad asur lisa isha kol shloshim yom umutu la ares afilu biyom amisa. And the source of the Rambam that it's afilu biyom that it's only nisuin is our Gemara. The Gemara only says nisuin. There's a Mishnah in Yevamos. The Mishnah in Yevamos says that an almana is not allowed to be misares tok shloshim yom mipnei ha'avelus. That an almana within the first 30 days after her husband dies can't even have erusin. What are you going to do with that? It sounds the Rambam holds that erusin is mutter. So Kesef Mishnah explains that the Mishnah is either the Mishnah is going like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who's matir, and Rabbi Yossi, and we don't paskin like that. Or he says even Rabbi Yossi, who asks an almana kol shloshim yom, that's only if you're doing a su'udas erusin, but just the erusin itself without the su'uda might be mutter. That's how the Kesef Mishnah is mevar the Rambam, that there's a difference between erusin and a su'udas erusin. It's a beautiful meshachachman al chumash says if you understand, if you follow that shita's Rambam, it makes sense what the chumash says, that it says in the Torah Eliezer Eved Avram u'migdonos nasan la'achio li'ima, that he gave McDonald's, and then it says v'yochel v'yishtu huva anash mesharimo, and he and the anash mesharimo ate and drank. So the Meshchach says, what's happening over here? Eliezer and his men are eating and drinking, and they're only giving McDonald's to Achia V'Yima. Why would he have a different party? So Meshchach says, based on the Rambam, that Rivka and her brothers and her brother and her mother didn't eat with Eliezer and Avram because they were Avelim on Besuel, so they couldn't participate in a Su'udas Erisin. But Rivka was allowed to have Erisin, she was still allowed to have the Erisin, so that she was allowed to do. So he made a Su'udas Erisin and didn't include Rivka because she wasn't allowed to participate in the Su'udas Erisin. Anyone who was still B'tok Shloshim wasn't allowed to participate. It's exactly the Shita Sarambam, Meshul Chachma says. It's exactly the Meshul Chachma style. Take stories in Chumash and show how it's a Tali and a Machlokas Rambam Ravid or something. So that's the uniqueness of the Meshul Chachma. In Shulchan Aruch we pass on like the Rambam, that you're allowed to have Erisin even B'yom HaMisa as long as you don't have the Su'udah, but the Ramah passes like the other Rishonim, that you're not even allowed to have Erisin like the Sheet of the Ramban and the Rush, all the other Rishonim, that even the Erisin itself is going to be Mutter. But again, the Gemara said, for the sake of Puruvu, one is allowed to get married. For one, li'alter, the Gemara had said. Now, how do we define li'alter? For the sake of Puruvu, we say you're allowed to get married li'alter. What does that mean, li'alter? The sheet of Tosfos Maseches Yevamos Daf Mem Gimel, and the Rush over here is that if someone who doesn't have children, it's even betoch shloshim he's allowed to get married. And also, if he has young children, we say he can get married li'alter, even it means betoch shloshim. However, both Tosfos and the Rush say, yes, you can get married b'toch shloshim, but you still can't be boel until li'achar shloshim. So wait a second. If a person has young children, and he's only getting married because he needs someone to take care of his children, I understand that halacha makes a lot of sense. That he's allowed to get married right away, someone has to take care of the kids right away. But he's not going to be boel till li'achar shloshim yom. That's what the Gemara says, because why does he have to be boel? He can wait till li'achar shloshim yom to pray proper respect to the avelus. But if the other li'alter, the other case where he gets married right away, where he doesn't have any children, he hasn't been mekayim puruvu, he's getting married for puruvu, so we're going to say, okay, so you can get married within shloshim, but you're not going to be able to be boel until the Achar Shloshim. Well, then what's he getting married for? The whole point of getting married is to have children. And yet the Tosos and the Rush say that he's allowed to get married B'toch Shloshim if he doesn't have any children, because he needs to do the mitzvah Puravu, but he can't have Bia until the Achar Shloshim. The Ramban says, I don't understand what's going on. Why would that make any sense? But perhaps the explanation is that he's allowed to, the Ramban explains this, that perhaps he's allowed to get married B'toch Shloshim Shami Yikad Menu Acher. Because what if he has a hard time finding a shidduch? Meaning if a girl gets taken by someone else, now he's going to have a hard time finding it. It may take another 6 months, a year, or forever till he finds a wife. So if he found someone that he can marry, he should marry her right away. And that way, miyad, the achar shloshim, right away, as soon as shloshim is over, he'll be able to engage in puravu, he'll be able to have children. So that's maybe the svara for that shita in Rishonim. Okay. Further in the Gemara, about 5 lines from the end of the page on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Tan Rabban, Kol Shoshim Yom Legiutz, Echad Kelim Chadashim, Echad Kelim Mishanim. That laundering is asr for the, or a serious pressing, freshly laundered, like dry cleaning type of clothing, is asr both Kelim Chadashim and Kelim Mishanim, new clothing and old clothing, Yotzim Mitoch HaMichbash, that just come from Tachas HaMichbash, that were just pressed. Rebbe Yomalo Asr El Kelim Chadashim Levad. Rebbe says, no, it's only asr and Kelim Chadashim, new clothing. Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Asr El Kelim Chadashim Levanim Bilvad, that it's only Asr on new white clothing. Abayi Nafik Begarda Desarvala Karebi. Abayi went out with a Garda Desarvala, with a Beged Lavan that was Meguatz, but it was an old one, and he following the Shita of Rebbe. Rava Nafik Bechimutsasa Rumisa Sumkisa Chadati Krab Loz, Rabbi Shimon. And Rava wore a certain shirt that was red, that had come from Rome, like Rabbi Loz, who only asked white clothing, and this was red, so even though it was brand new and it was pressed and it was fresh and all the rest, he held that it was mutter because it wasn't white. So he followed the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon that as long as it's not white, it's going to be mutter. How do we paskin, says Tosfos? Pirush b'Tosfos Tabai v'Rava Alacha k'Rava. Generally speaking, of Machlok Sabai and Rava, this is not one of the Yal Kegam. It's not one of the six exceptions where we paskin like Abai. So the Alacha is like Rava. V'imkein mutter lilvosh kelim meguhatz and tzvun v'afil chadash ma'ishan v'afil v'veinim v'chein pasuk rach. And he says that's how Rach, the Rabbeinu Chananel paskins as well. Good. Mipnei amru Shabbos olaveinim afsekas. The Mishnah had said that Shabbos counts as one of the days of Shiva and it doesn't break the Shiva. B'nei Yehuda, b'nei Galila, hani amri yesh avelus b'Shabbos, v'hani amri ein avelus b'Shabbos. There was a machlokas between the b'nei Yehuda and the b'nei Galil, whether there is avelus on Shabbos or there's no avelus on Shabbos. What's the svarah for each side? Mandi amar yesh avelus b'Shabbos to katani ola. The one that says that there is avelus on Shabbos says because Shabbos counts toward the avelus, so it must be that there is avelus on Shabbos. Whether it's the fact that the halacha is that Shabbos counts, or the fact that we formulated as Ola, and we don't say Avaleinu Noheg, we don't add the extra detail, somehow that's a raya that Avelus is knowing on Shabbos. Mandi Amar Ein Avelus B'Shabbos, the Katani Ein Amafsekas. And the one that says that there's no Avelus on Shabbos will say there's no Avelus, the raya that there's no Avelus, because it says that Shabbos is not Mafsik the Avelus, but the implication is, yeah, it's not Mafsik the Avelus, but you don't actually do Avelus on Shabbos, you don't actually observe Avelus on Shabbos. Frak the Gemara, Is al kadai toch yesh avelus b'Shabbos, hash avelus naga evsukei mibayi. If there is avelus on Shabbos, so if there is, if you're knowing avelus, you need to tell me that it's not mafsik the avelus. Of course, not mafsik the avelus. You're doing avelus on Shabbos. Ve'la hakatani ola. Yeah, but what are you going to do with the other diuk that it says ola? Ola makes it sound like there is avelus on Shabbos. And so Gemara, I think about the mishnah seifa eino olam tana reisha ola. The other reason it mentions ola is because the seifa is going to say eino ola when it talks about Yom Tovim, it says Eino Ola, so it mentions by Shabbos that it's Ola. Ulmadar Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos HaKatani Eino Mafsekes. The one that says Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, it says that Eino Mafsekes. So what are you going to do with the phrase Eino Mafsekes? If there's Avelus, of course it's not Mafsik. Mishum Tekvayim is a Seifa Mafsik in Tana Reisha Eino Mafsekes. Now, since the Seifa is going to say that Yom Tov is Mafsik, so the Reisha says that it's not Mafsik. That's Machlokas, whether Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos or Eino Avelus B'Shabbos. Now, what exactly is this machlokas? There is a machlokas rishonim. What do they mean? If you say yesh avelus b'shabbos, what would that mean? Would that mean that there's all the isurim that you're sitting on the floor, you're being noig avelus in the normal way on Shabbos? The Ramban writes dvarim kipshutam. Yesh avelus b'shabbos means means you treat it like a weekday, even avils befarasya. Tosus over here, the first few words of Tosus on the Amud, Bidvarim Shabbat Sinna Mayri. No, of course there's no avils befarasya. We're talking about avils betzina, whether you're knowing any avils on Shabbos. Now, according to the Ramban, that yesh avils means that we're knowing all dine avils, even the dine avils befarasya, we have a lot of problems with other Gemaras. We're going to have a Gemara in a couple of days, a Braisa, that says in Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Me'im Asai Zok V'nes Hamitos Be'erev Shabbos, at what point do we pick the beds back up on Erev Shabbos? Min HaMincha L'mayla. That on Erev Shabbos, Min HaMincha L'mayla, we get the house back into shape for Shabbos, and we take away the signs of Avelos. What do you mean? If you say like the Ramban, Yesh Avelos for Shabbos, even for Asya, what are you getting the house back into shape for Shabbos? Not only that, there's another brisa we're going to have in tomorrow's daf that says that throughout Shiva, the Kriya of on the Begad, the torn part of the Begad should be the fun of B'makom HaNirin, a place that's evident, that's clearly seen by, that's visible. And on Shabbos, Kara L'Acharav, you move the Kriya to behind you so people don't see it. So why doesn't the Gemara prove from those brises that ein avelus b'Shabbos? I mean, the Gemara doesn't even bring those brises into our discussion. We're trying to prove yesh avelus, ein avelus. Both of those brises prove that ein avelus b'Shabbos. If you hold yesh avelus means that you're even knowing avelus b'farasya. So how could the Ramban say that yesh avelus means that we're even knowing avelus b'farasya and we don't bring any of those rayas from those other brises? So the Ramban says it could be that even though there's yesh avelus b'Shabbos, maybe kfiyas hamita is different. So because kfiyas hamita is a tsar gadol, he calls it. One could argue, what does he mean, sar gadol? That it's not a din just in the avel. It's a din in the base avel. Yesh avelus b'Shabbos may be the dinim in the avel, that the avel is knowing his avelus even b'Farasi on Shabbos. But the whole base avel doesn't have to be knowing avelus on Shabbos. That's a separate din of the base avel. So that could be the why Kfiya Samita is different. And Kriya may have a whole different set of halachos. Anyway, now from this Gemara, it seems that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we've pointed out before, Rav Shechter writes, Rav Salvechik said in all of this year, that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that Shabbos is Yom Tov is a direct stira to Avelus, because Yom Tov there's a kiyum shabalev of simcha, there's a mitzvah simcha. So if yimei simcha can't be yimei Avelus, they just can't coexist. Whereas Shabbos there's no mitzvah of simcha. Shabbos the mitzvah is oneg. It may express itself in the same way, in many of the same ways that simcha expresses itself in Yom Tov, eating meat, drinking wine. But what we're accomplishing on Shabbos with eating meat and drinking wine is oneg. It's not simcha. What we're accomplishing in Yom Tov is simcha, and that's the direct stira between Yom Tov and Avelos that you don't have between Shabbos and Avelos. Now that idea that there's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos does not seem to be agreed upon by everybody. There are certainly sources that suggest that there is on some level a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos as well. It's a medrash in Baaloscha on the pasuk ubiyom simchaschem uvemoadechem uvrashei chatechem b'midbar perek yud. B'yom Simchaschem, Elu Shabbosos. That the Yom Simcha, the Medrash defines as Shabbos. So it could be that, according to at least some sources, there is an idea of Simcha on Shabbos. But the Pashtos is that the Mitzvah of Shabbos is a Mitzvah of an Oneg, it's not a Mitzvah of Simcha. Now, with the Mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov expresses itself certainly in the Basar of the Karbanos, but even though that's the way we do the Mitzvah of Simcha, the Kiyum of Simcha is a Kiyum Shabalev, Rav Salavejik points out. He says that's why we still eat Basar, even as Manazel, we don't have the Karbanos, because we're still trying to promote that Kiyum Shabalev that we have of Simcha. And that's why B'mahuso, it's a Stira Ta'avelus. Yom Tov and Avelus are a Stira to each other. And so the Gemara says, Lema Katanayim, maybe this issue of whether Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, Yesh Avelus B'Shabbos, is really a Machlokas Tanayim. Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav, if a person is an Onein, Ochel b'bayis acher, he should eat in a different home. Ein lo b'bayis acher, meaning not where the mace is. He shouldn't eat right in front of the dead body. It's not appropriate to eat right in front of where the dead body is. Ein lo b'bayis acher, if he doesn't have somewhere else to go, ochel b'bayis chavero, he doesn't have his own second house, he should go to someone else's house. Ein lo b'bayis chavero, he doesn't have any friends who have houses, oslo mechitza sar tzvachim, he should at least make a partition between the body and himself. Ein lo davar lasos mechitza, machzer panav yochel, if he's not even able to build a mechitza, So at least he should turn his face away. Ve'eino mesav ochel, he certainly shouldn't eat be'aseba. Ve'eino ochel basar, ve'eino shosiyayin. He should not eat meat, and he should not drink wine while he is in onen. Frank tells us, well, wait a second, even an avil is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Normally we're much more machmir on avelim than we are on onenim. The avelim are not allowed to, the avelim have to sit on the floor, the avelim have all sorts of halachos, that we don't have kfiyas amita, nil sasandal, ativis harosh. Those are all dinim of avelim, and that an onen doesn't have to observe. So why over here are we more machmir by an onen than we are by an avil? An avil is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. The Gemara says that wine was created, that wine was created just to provide nechama for avelim. So apparently avelim are allowed to drink wine. So why is that over here more machmir for an onen than we are for an avil? So Tos says the important yesod, that the dinim of avelus are certainly more severe than the dinim of aninus in terms of practicing avelus. One who is an onen is not supposed to be practicing avelus yet. All of the dinim of aninus are not geared toward expressing a sense of mourning. What they are geared to is keeping the person focused on what he has to do. He has a job to do to take care of his mace and make sure that the person gets to kvura, says Tosfos. Anything that's going to be a distraction from that is going to be asur for an onen. Not because it's simcha, not because it's, just because it's a distraction. So that's why an onen is not allowed to eat meat and drink wine, because that may distract him from his task at hand that he has to do, but it has nothing to do with the din of avelus. The Vayter and the Brice of Eid Mvarech, an onen is not Mvarech, Vayter Mezamen is not Mezamen, Mvarech Vayter Mezamen Alav, we don't include him in a zimun, we don't include him in the bracha. The Gilead Marasha and the Shulchan Aruch says, if we're not mitzarif him for a zimun, we're also not mitzarif him for a minion. We shouldn't count to a minion. Mishra Berurah quotes the Siman Nun Hei Sivkat L'Chav Dalet. Upatr Mekriya Shema Minatfilin Mikol Mitzvah Samurus B'Torah, and he's Patr from all mitzvahs in the Torah, from Kriya Shema Tfilin, Tfilin, all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. Rashi writes in Brachas David Zayin, because he's Torah B'Machshavas Kvuraso. It's like an Osek B'Mitzvah. Since he's Osek in the mitzvah of the Kvura, so that's why he's Patr from everything else. Tosos in Brachas quotes a different reason. He says there's a drasha from a pasuk that it says the mantiskar is yom tzeischa meretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha, that you have to remember the days that you left Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha, and we darshin yom shata osik bechayim v'lo yom shata osik bemesim, that on those days that you're involved in life, that's when you have to do the mitzvos, but when you're osik bemesim, then you don't have to do the mitzvos. So two different explanations why the onen is pater from kriyashma. Meaning l'chora osik mitzvah pater min mitzvah would not have been enough. And Yeshua points out, that's why Tosfos needs the drasha. Because also mitzvah patam and a mitzvah, if it's afshal l'kayim shneihem, you're supposed to do both. And something that takes a few moments to say a bracha, to say kriya shema, so often it's afshal l'kayim shneihem, the person's able to do both. So you need an additional drasha to tell me that he doesn't say kriya shema. But why are we quoting this whole brisa about an onen? All for the next line. U'b'shabbos meisav yochel, but on Shabbos he could eat be'aseba, v'ochel basav shosiyayin, he could eat meat and drink wine, u'mevarich u'mezamin, u'mevarich u'mezamin in love, and he participates in the zimun and brachas, v'chayiv b'kriyashma b'tfilo, b'tfilin, b'kol mitzvah samurus b'torah. Tfilin doesn't seem to belong on the list on Shabbos, but he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs in the Torah on Shabbos. So the Braisa tells us that Shabbos, he doesn't have to observe any of these halachas. Rav Gamliel says, well, if he's chayiv in these mitzvahs, he's chayiv in all mitzvahs. Rav Yochanan, wait a second, the Tanakhama just said that he's chayiv in kol mitzvahs amurus b'torah. What's Rav Gamliel adding? Oh, what Rav Gamliel must be adding is tashma shamiti ikibinayu. They must be arguing whether even the davar shebetzina, he has to be noeg on Shabbos. That the Tanakhama would say, my love, v'akum ifgli, demar sovri yesh avelis b'Shabbos. Tanakhama would say there is some sort of avelis on Shabbos, in that he's not allowed to have tashma shamiti while he's an onen, so he observes at least that level of avelus on Shabbos. Umar savrein avelus on Shabbos. And Gamliel adds that he's even allowed to have tashma shamita, that even davarim shabbat sinai don't have to be knowing, because apparently there's no avelus on Shabbos whatsoever. So you see that it's a clear machlokas tanaim whether yesh avelus on Shabbos, rein avelus on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, no, you don't see any of that. What are we talking about in this price? We're not talking about an avel. We're talking about an onen over here. It's different, totally different. Mimai dilma ad kal no kamer tanakama hasam el mishum de mesa muta lefanav. Maybe the tanakama didn't want a person who's an onen to have tashma shamita because mesa muta lefanav. That's a complete chutzpah to the mace, complete chutzpah to the relative. He's going to be having tashma shamita before the kvura. Aval hacha de ein mesa muta lefanav lo. But maybe during shiva the burial is already taken care of, maybe then he is allowed to have tashmish shamita on Shabbos. Vad kan lo kam Rangam Liel hasam, and maybe Rangam Liel only matir tashmish shamita on Shabbos. Da'akati lo chalavel salei, because he has no dinim of an avil yet. He's still only an onain, so there are no halachos of avelus. Avil hachad the chalavel salei achinami. But over here where avelus began, maybe it's going to be more chamur. Maybe he has to be noeg even on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan asked from Shmuel, is there or is there not avelus on Shabbos? Amar Lei, he said, ain avelus on Shabbos, that we are not noheg avelus on Shabbos. There is a discussion about if a person's Rebbe dies. We say when Meso Mutal Lefanav, you're not allowed to drink wine. The Rush says that the reason is in Mukayos because it's a tsar and avelus. But Tosa says it's because it's going to distract you from the simcha. So the post can point out, it may chapa nafkamina for a person's Rebbe. When a person's Rebbe dies, you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine. If it's a din of tsar, so hopefully that tsar is there also by the Rebbe. But if it's not a din of tsar, it's a din of distracting you from your job of burying the dead. So it's not the Talmud's job to bury the dead, it's the family's job to bury the Rebbe. So that might be a nafkamina in the two reasons that are offered over here. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from the top tomorrow.